Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, welcome back to The Positivity Effect. Dr. Tom here, and this is episode number 7. And today we have on Aaron Smith, the founder of The Starters Club, a personal business consulting service that helps businesses create, grow, and realize their dreams. You can find her at thestartersclub.com, where you can also find her podcast. So before we dive into the call, guys, if you love what you're hearing, please check out positivityeffect.com. You can catch all the episodes and the show notes, as well as subscribe to my newsletter. Please write to me and share a story of something you're grateful for in your life. I'm going to pick one listener's inspiring story every week to share on the Sunday Fireside Chat. So write to me. Let me know what you think about the show, and I'd love to hear from you guys and get to know you. In addition to finding the show at our website, if you'd like, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Just search Positivity Effect, hit the subscribe button, and you'll never miss an episode. So on this episode, we have Aaron Smith, and I want you to focus in on how she kept reminding us that she just worked very hard at her business. I think that's a lesson for all of us in life. It's so much easier to just think that, you know, to hope and pray that everything will just come to fruition, but we really have to work at it, you know, and it applies to any aspect of life. Also, pay attention to the story about the difficult time that Aaron had working through and understanding a pregnancy that she had at a time when she really wasn't ready for it. It was really inspiring and amazing to listen to the courage that she had to still pick up her bootstraps and carry on in the business that she was in at the time, even though she didn't have everything figured out, and really work through the pregnancy. She really is a great resource and a role model. So without further ado, here is my chat with Aaron Smith. What's going on, Aaron?
Not a whole lot. How are you doing? Happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. How's the weather down in Dallas?
It's the perfect day today. I actually played hooky for an hour, took my kids to the park after school. So it is one of those days where you hate to be inside.
Now, nobody else can see the video because this is audio, but is that the natural light that's coming
into
the room
right light
now?
It is sunny beyond sunny today. It's perfect.
It's a little dreary up in Long Island, but you know, I'm trying to spread that positivity and keep it bright.
I'll send the sun your way. Give it a few days and you'll be good to go.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. So guys, before we get started, you can check out what Aaron's doing over at thestartersclub.com. She helps people create businesses as well as businesses that already exist. She helps them grow. She's really a powerhouse resource, so definitely check her out. And Aaron, you have a great story. So instead of me outlining in three sentences or less, take us through your story.
Yeah, so my story is I always like to tell my story because I am not your typical entrepreneur. I was not born to be an entrepreneur or thought, grew up thinking I was going to be an entrepreneur. And I really didn't know what I was doing in my first business. And I started working corporate America. It was the most amazing thing to me. And the reason why was because I grew up on a farm. So I grew up working all the time. So when I get this job that's paying me great money, I was doing consulting for Accenture, great money. I was home by five. I was just had holidays off. I'd never had holidays off in my life. I'm like, this is amazing. Yeah. I mean, what you get, I worked every Christmas growing up as a kid, not to feel sorry for myself, but that's what my life was like. So
it's like life changing.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. I'm like, who would ever not like this? Well, what ended up happening was I jumped ship to another company that offered me even more money. And that was in the early 2000s when the consulting world just tanked, when everything was really starting to tank. And so I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and just looked at everything differently and said, okay, I can stay in corporate America. However, they're not going to take care of me. I can't depend on them for everything. And I need to start owning. And I started in real estate, I just went to real estate school at night just to learn, get my license so I could understand things and buy houses. And I didn't want to be a realtor, so to say. I just wanted my license and started investing, which led to investments across the country. It just everything was so organic. I had no intentions of doing, you know, any like being the next Donald Trump or anything like that.
And Aaron, if you don't mind me interrupting, in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, like what was, you know, for those who haven't read it, what was the overarching theme that like really made you say, you know, this is where I have to make this direction?
Well, it's just about the difference between, and I love my dad more than life itself. My dad was an entrepreneur, but my dad was get the safe job, get the safe job, get the safe job. And, yeah. And so as I'm reading this, I was like, dang, it's the poor mentality. Like you have somebody taking care of you and you know, you're not, and it's just, it's the, you know, work for hours too. I think that's another big one too. Like you could start your own business, but are you truly making passive income? Or are you trading hours for work where if I think your ultimate goal is when you take a vacation, are you still making money or do you lose money on that week of vacation, if that makes sense? So I think your ultimate goal in anything is whether you go away for 2 months, is there still money coming into your bank account? You know, do you have that freedom and how can you build up to that freedom? So it was just, it was a different, like, The rich dad teaches you to own, like anything you can own. Don't say go get a job or go do anything like this. It's figure out how to own. And so it was just this eye-opening experience for me. And what happened was I moved from Phoenix to Dallas. I actually lived between the two cities for a year because I got to keep my job in Phoenix, but just work from home when I was in Dallas. And I started a pet sitting company. It was by chance. My ex-husband was working on a PhD in psychology. Again, no intention of anything for this. I love animals. I actually have 6 dogs. We do rescue. So I just loved it. And so I helped him out for the summer, thought that's all it was going to be. We used that money for investments and it slowly became this amazing thing. And when I say I had no idea what I was doing, I had no idea what I was doing. I LLC'd the company and the phone book showed up. This was only 10 years ago, mind you. It was not when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. But the phone book showed up at my house and I was like, oh, crap. And so I'd researched an Aaron Brothers, like the furniture rental place. They named their business Aaron Brothers because it starts with an A and they could be first in the phone book. So I named our company, it was Amore. And so it started with an A so I could be first in the phone book. And then the phone book shows up and I'm like, they're not printing this for another year. How are we going to get like, that was my game plan. That was the one game plan I had. And I'm like, what are we going to do? And obviously I figured things out, but then 2 years into it, I hired my first employee. I had no idea. I was literally said, you've got the job, came home and Googled, how do I hire an employee? Like and I think people get so stuck in entrepreneurship that they've got to have it all figured out and you never will. So you got to just start and figure it out along the way. Otherwise, you're never going to start because the whole path never appears before you ever. And if it does, if you think it's the whole path, it's totally going to be screwed up within like 2-3 weeks. You're going to discover that wasn't the right path at all, but you just have to figure it out, but you got to start. So that was, and I sold that business, started another one, sold that. And then I started the Starters Club to help people not just start, but to get profitable, to figure out, to think like a business person, learn the fundamentals and actually succeed.
It was interesting, you know, before we jumped on, we were talking about getting started and, you know, you're helping individuals with business. And then I said, oh, what about like relationships? And you said they really aren't separated. You know, how do those things really tie in together? You know, entrepreneurship, relationship, all those things.
Well, so I kept like doing a lot of research on like what was missing in the market for people. Like, and I kept going back to the fundamentals, the basics. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to start a business where I'm going to teach this because everybody's like, I need the steps. I need the steps. And you know, you have a podcast. So how many people tell you, I want the steps for a podcast, but you know darn well, or you could give them the steps for a podcast, but there'd still be something, well, I can't do it because, you know, whatever it is. They give an excuse, but we all know, you know, underlying what it is. And so I learned that I thought if I could just give you the steps, everybody would go out and start their own business, right? And that would be, hey, I know how to do it now. No more questions. We got it. But I learned that it's not, I could do the steps for you. I could hand you a business. And we all have that inner beast of, who are you to do this? You're not good enough. Come on, who are you to be an entrepreneur? Do you really think you're going to succeed? That whole negative talk.
When was a moment for you when you felt like you felt that, like that negative talk where it was like, you're not good enough or you're not gonna be able to succeed with this?
I have it every day. No, I mean, just recently, I'll tell you, I wrote a book and I always push myself. So kind of the marker for me is when I'm sick to my stomach, but I really want to do it, but I'm like I want to throw up. That means I have to do it because I'll regret if I never do. And I know I'm pushing myself into a zone that I'm not comfortable with, and I have to do it. So just recently I published a book, and you know, I Periscope a lot, and I would get on Periscope and I'd say to people, like, I'm like, you don't understand. I would rather stand naked. And I don't have a nice body. Like, this is not like competition, you know, like, I mean, I'd rather stand naked in front of everyone than put out my book. Like, it was the scare. And it, every day it was, who are you to, you know, Aaron, this book is horrible. Like, who's going to read this? People are going to complain about it. And you have to understand, everyone has that self-talk. It's the people who say, thanks very much, I'm not going to listen, I'm still going to do it, who are successful. And the people who let it get the best of them, who never do what they dream of doing or what they're capable of.
I mean, that really kind of goes into any aspect of life, right?
Any aspect.
You know, if you're trying to meet somebody new or you're trying to pick up a new fitness plan, as soon as you start, you're going to go home the first day and it's going to be like, oh, you shouldn't be going to the gym right now. Like, you should just be hanging out.
Exactly. People are going to laugh at you at the gym. You look horrible. All this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in terms of positivity, you know, what do you feel is just the overall benefits of having that positive mindset, especially what you do in life?
So, I mean, it's, you know, positivity is the only way you're going to succeed, I really think. So this is, I never read the prescript, but I actually read the prescript of this, and I had these notes and I'm like, oh my God, this totally applies. So this week, and this was so eye-opening for me, this week I was at church and the pastor was talking about the word imagination. So positive thoughts, like thoughts are going through your brain and it's all imagination. Either we're thinking positive things or we're imagining negative things, whatever, it's one or the other. And you know, a lot of times like, oh, you're going to fail, you're going to do this. These are imaginations that are going to happen because they're going through your brain. So you got to figure out which one. And I loved what he dissected what the origins of the word imagination was. And the original origin of it is not imagine, it's image. And if you break that down, I think it was by the Greek, it comes to either I make or I become. So that right there, I was like, whoa. So anything that's in your mind as an imagination, you make it or you become it. So you have to really be aware of your thoughts. And, you know, we all have I think naturally just based on, you know, the way we grow up and everything, the automatic play is the negative. And you've really got to be aware of it and shift it and constantly be putting the positive until it comes more naturally.
Yeah, I love that you said that word awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many of us, including myself at times, is we're just not aware at certain, you know, aspects of our life. It could be our finances. It could be our relationships. It could be our health. And when you start to raise your awareness level of those things, that's when it really starts to, like you said, in your mind first, and then facilitates actually physically in the world. You know, and I guess for you, like, how important is it to you to really double down on your brain and invest in your brain, invest in your mind, and, you know, learning new things in terms of really what you're letting come in and how it's going to influence you. You know how, like, so many of us will just get stuck watching television and all those things on the media that we see.
Well, it becomes, I mean, first of all, like when it comes to the news, they're looking to shock you. Okay. Happy stories don't shock you, right? Like every once in a while you get the little like warm feel good story, but it's the bad stuff that gets people clicking and watching and watching more. So you got to realize like that's what they want you to watch longer. And it's the stuff that's going to scare you. That is, I think, you know, so much changed in my business and my life when I made a commitment to read a book a week. And that where, you know, instead of sitting in front of the TV, I'm reading, because people are like, oh, where do you find the time? It's like, you make the time for what's a priority to you. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes I'm sitting on a Sunday just reading, you know, while my kids are watching a movie or whatever. And you have to make that time and be very purposeful in what's going in your brain. And I think from a mindfulness and positivity perspective too, one of the biggest differences that made in my life was meditating, because I didn't know how to shut off. I didn't know how to. So when negative thoughts were reeling, I know this sounds like lame, but I had no idea how to shut them off. I just let them play. And so making a point to meditate every single day now has taught me A, to be aware of them, because I can feel like, I get anxiety over just random things I'm making up in my brain. And now I know how to shut them off. Or before you go to bed, when your mind starts reeling of stuff, I know how to shut that off and actually get into a deeper sleep. So I think it's just really, really important.
What does that look like for you? Do you do it in the morning, or is it just as you need kind of basis?
No. So I wish I could. That's an excuse. I don't make the time to get up in the morning to do it. So my kids get up and that's when I get up. And so I don't make that time. However, I've found I have to do it by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So typically 2 to 3 is kind of my down when I start kind of not being as productive as I should be. And just that's my, you know, we all have our better times and our worst times. So that's, if I don't do it by then, it doesn't have the same effect for me throughout the day. So I always make sure that that's kind of my downtime anyway. I do it by 3 o'clock. That's the best time for me, because that's when I get tired. I have to reset at that time, if that makes sense. And then I usually do one as I'm going to sleep. So it puts me to sleep.
And you're an entrepreneur. You have an entrepreneur mindset. I think when people hear that word, they just immediately think like, oh, you're an entrepreneur, like you have a business and you run and you're your boss. But also it's a mindset, right? It's a lifestyle. So like being an entrepreneur and thinking that kind of, using that thought pattern of how you live your life, like how has that also influenced other things in your life? Like for example, your family, or how do you implement being an entrepreneur in your family?
Well, I think as an entrepreneur, you realize like, you kind of control your own destiny. So even like before, and I can kind of even back up that question, I didn't realize I thought this way. And when I was in a corporate job, my favorite corporate job was one I controlled my own destiny. So if I said, hey, I want to learn about this and I think we should implement this and we should do this as a company, that they listened and they did it. And it was amazing. And I think that's where, when you realize it's not black and white, right? Like this isn't, so it's supposed to be this way, but you have the opportunity to find the gray area and do different things. I think that's where entrepreneurship is. And just from, I don't know if I'm answering the question, but just as a family perspective, I raised my kids had I had kids 10 years ago versus now, raise them a completely different way, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'll push college, but if they say I have a massive dream right now and I really want to follow this, mom, and I'll say, listen, I'll support you. You got to give it everything you've got and I'm for it. But they just can't be sitting at home playing video games if I'm going to support it. I love Kevin Hart's mom's story where she really supported him. It's a great story of how he wanted to be a comedian and she said, all right, I'll pay your rent for a year. And, I just love that's the kind of parent I want to be now versus 10 years ago. I would have been, you go to school, you do your thing, you get this. I look at things so different now, where as an entrepreneur too, I look at nurturing strengths versus focusing on making their weaknesses more normal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talking about positivity, talking about achieving things in life, you know, take us to a moment maybe where it was a tough moment, especially since you're so entrenched in business, where it was really difficult for you. And even though maybe it was a difficult time, you had the right mindset to have the awareness to say, okay, I'm getting through this and I see the bigger picture, even though it's tough right now.
Yeah. So it was during my second business. So the long story short, I had gotten divorced, started a business, and the business took off. Like it was, I mean, it was going bigger than I knew what to do with. It was a mobile spray tanning company. And so I was literally traveling all over the state of, or not the state, but all over Dallas, Texas, building this thing. And I was in all these salons. So I just had salons calling me like, can you put your business in my salon? Can you put your, and I'm like, whoa. And it was just growing and I'm hiring and it was up, up, up. I'm talking to a lawyer about getting the business set up where we could eventually set it up for a franchise. I mean, it was insane. And I was dating and I said to this guy, I'm like, listen, like met him. I'm like, I don't want kids are gonna be difficult for me. I don't want any kids because I want to be just, I'm a business person. I'm happy with business. I've got dogs. I'm cool with being the crazy dog lady. I don't care. And so we were cool with that. And as in the peak of this bit, like it's going insane. And I literally found out I was pregnant. And it was a derailment because I just didn't know what was going to happen. And I didn't know how it was going to affect my business. And I didn't know how to do this. And I was to a point where the business was almost out of control. It was growing so fast because I just didn't know how to, I mean, I'd never experienced that quick of growth ever. So I had to take a step back and pull out of some of the salons. I'd made some mistakes growing so quickly, hadn't done, made some assumptions versus writing up contracts, which is not a wise thing to do. And had to really take a step back and say, okay, let me get through this point. I restructured, kept employees on, but just had to wait a little bit to figure out the growth pattern until after I had the baby because I just didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea if I'd have energy, if I'd be able to do this. And it was a hard moment for me, but it ended up working out for the best for sure.
And was it a moment or was it really like it was a process? It was something that happened over time.
It was a process. So the best description I can give of it was from the moment I found out I was pregnant for about 2 to 3 weeks, I just felt like I was in a spinning car that wouldn't stop. Like it was just, everything was out of control, if that makes sense. So it was a process like, okay, when it's like, okay, how do I fix this now? I'm not being the best employer I can be. I'm not being the best business owner I can be. How do I fix this part? And then how do I maintain this business so when TJ comes, I can actually ramp it back up? Because I was scared of keeping on that trajectory. And then I was a high-risk pregnancy. So I didn't know if I was going to have to be on bed rest for 6 months. So it's like I had to set up the business that it wasn't so out of control. I still had the employees. And yeah, it was definitely a several month process to get it to that point.
And what was it like, you know, having transparency in going through that whole ordeal, you know, of all that happening at once, you know, being transparent with people in your life to really help open your mind so you were able to get through? Because I'm sure, you know, looking back on it, when you were in the midst of all of it, it wasn't just you going through it alone.
Yeah, it was and I'll be honest with you, I'm not great about pulling people in as much as I should be. I'll do it myself type person. And what was very hard for me was that I was very depressed about the pregnancy. And as a you can't be depressed about it. Like this is the best thing that's supposed to happen to you. So you can't express that you're sad about it. And I know that sounds really bad, but I was scared. I was very, very, very scared about this whole situation. And so it was hard. I think I had some really key employees though, who, like I said, when I got to that point that I knew if I had to go on bed rest for 3 months, that things were taken care of. And I think that was my most important piece to really get them in line and understand kind of what was going on. And just to know that it was taken care of if something were to happen. And those were the biggest people I relied on.
How about, you know, you had close people that you relied on, but I'm sure through the, you know, all of the different businesses and things that you've gone through to get you to the point that you really are at today, you know, a mentor, who would be a mentor that either they still are in your life or they were, and they really helped kind of hold you accountable and take you through the steps of achieving, you know, entrepreneurial success?
You know, what's crazy is I've had a lot of people I've looked up to and gone to for advice. And I think this is a good question too. Like I've never had a mentor to say, hey, can you you know, I'm going to do this. Can you hold me accountable? Which I don't know if that's good or bad. It's probably bad, but I've never had that. I've had some people that I've really looked up to from an entrepreneur's perspective. I've asked them about things, you know, directions and stuff. And one in particular, like I actually only met him a few years ago, and I look up to him in so many different ways, 'cause he's a machine. And so I always look at people where I'm like, I'm tired. And then I look at him, I'm like, suck it up, Aaron. You got to get going on this. So, but yeah, so that's where I've had is like people I look up to, I ask questions about, but not a true mentor where I've been like, hey, I'm starting this business. Can you, you know, help me through it? Just because my first business, especially I had no intentions of that thing. So to say, I'm going to make a lot of money doing this, I need somebody to help me do it, I didn't, because I had no intentions of making a lot of money doing it. It just happened. I know that sounds really weird.
No, it's true. Sometimes it happens like that. And so, Aaron, if someone is a business owner or they're looking to start a business, where does it really start? You know, for someone that has no idea.
You know, it starts by write down, okay, so for like, I always tell people, just write down what it is you want to do, what it is you think, you know, and it's just assumptions at this point. So what is your product or service going to do? Who's it going to help? What's the problem they're having? And, you know, what needs to get done in order to do this? Like, and the thing is, like, write down the things that you think is going to happen. Okay, so I think I need, do you need real estate or not? Do you need employees or not? Do you need, you know, how much is it going to cost? Like, do you need to produce a product? Do you need to, and just say, okay, this is what I want to do, and start there. Like, just write down the things that you think are required, and then say, okay, I don't know this. I don't know this. I don't know this. Okay, I think I know this. And start answering the questions you don't know. So, you know, how does this product or service fit this person? I think it's here. Then go meet with some people and figure out how you can fill in those blanks. You know, a lot of people, I don't know how to do all that. Well, just say, right, make a list of the things you don't know, and then find people who do know and ask them and start there. And that's, you know, really essentially the first couple steps in doing this. Google's your best friend. Use Google. When I started my first business, I didn't know what I was doing. And I literally said, okay, how do I build a website? I have no idea. And I Googled it and built my website and said, okay. And I researched what my competitors were doing and said, how can I make this better? Where are they missing the mark? How do I provide a better experience? You just start, know what you don't know, and then start finding the answers. And there's more questions that are going to come up, but then just don't let those intimidate you. Just keep pushing to find more answers.
What kind of, you know, pressures were you surrounded with when you first started your first company? You know, like, what were the outside influences that you were trying to, like, because you noted that you kind of just put your head down and you go at it. So, you know, what were those things that were kind of trying to creep their way in and you're like, no, and you would keep pushing them aside and just keep pushing forward on the business?
I think the one biggest pusher, and it's come into every single business I've done, is the, who are you to charge money for this? I think that's the biggest thing you've got to get over, especially if you're a service-based business versus a product-based. But I even had a friend of mine I was talking to. She started this great networking company here. We were talking the other night, and she said, you know, I felt so bad asking people to join this. Like, had I built it up to a point yet where people should give me money to it, and was it worth it? And I think that is the biggest obstacle that's going to sneak into you, is like, who are you to charge this money and actually have people pay you to do this? And when you can make that switch, like, I, in my second business, like I said, I did a mobile spray tanning company, and people would call me and be like, well, so-and-so will do this for half off. I'm like, good, go use them. And then I'll be here to charge you double when they screw it up. Like, I was so confident in it and what I did. Or I said, you know, great. If you can get a great service at that for that price, good, go for it. And you got a great deal. I'm not doing it for that. And so you have to make that switch in your confidence and, you know, in your ability, and not when somebody's like, well, somebody else is doing it for 50% off, not go, okay, well then I must be horrible. I'll do it at 50% off. It's just a huge mind shift that's your biggest thing you're going to have to get over.
How does someone grow their confidence, you know, in that kind of realm?
You know, I think it's just, I think what's important is to really make sure you're keeping, you know, if you don't have customers yet, that's okay. Talk to the people who your ideal client is. I think what happens is when you're good at something, you take it for granted. When you've studied something, you're interested in it. So you take for granted the knowledge you have. And a lot of times we forget how many people are starting at a certain point. So even if you don't have customers, talk to your ideal clients and find out what they're struggling with. Find out, where their obstacles are. Find out what their problems are. Find out all those things. And it's going to help build up your confidence, because you're going to be like, dang, I do know what I'm talking about. Because these people, don't have this, or, whatever it is you're offering, find out where other people are missing the mark. If you do have competitors, and when you can go in and say, okay, they're missing A, B, and C, I'm adding those, that's going to be a confidence booster too. Cause you're just going to know if you're focusing on giving the best service you can, it's hard to knock your confidence.
That's it. And I think that goes into anything is when you're providing service, whether it's, providing service to your family or anybody, anything, business or family, really, if you're focused on, what you're going to get out of it, just always focus on giving.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it really starts to come back to you. And especially in business, you're providing a high level service. And if you're confident in the service you provide, then there's no reason to switch up or try to, compete with you, because you're not competing at that point. You're very proud of what you created.
Right. Absolutely.
So this is my favorite part of the interview. I like to give you a little moment to kind of talk about gratitude and something that you're grateful for right now.
This is, I'll talk about kind of making it a negative, but being very grateful for it. So this business, I would say, I've always been very fortunate. Okay. I've had talent, even with sports and stuff, everything's come very natural, very easy for me. And I've never had to really push and work, if that makes sense. A perfect example, I wanted to play piano when I was little, so I taught myself how to play piano, but I've always plateaued. So I've never pushed myself to the greatness level. I've always been good. Let's put it that way. And in business, so when I talk about my first business, I know it sounds crazy, but I was just like, it was kind of easy to be like, I worked so hard. I'm not trying to be like, I did nothing and it just grew. I worked my butt off, but I worked my way through it and figured out there was nothing that like kept me in the fetal position in a corner at night, if that makes sense. So this business, I'm so grateful for it, because it's been one of, I do speaking, I do writing, I do, a lot of work in the mastery of marketing to figure out where I'm, how to convince people to buy a product. And I've had to push myself to say, okay, Aaron, the easy part to you isn't cutting it. You've got to master this. And so it's been just such a different level for me, but I'm so grateful for it, because like I told you, I get that sick to my stomach. Oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable with this right now. And I push through it. There's no greater feeling. So I'm very, very grateful for the challenges I've had on this. And I would encourage people to make a commitment to yourself to say, I do want to be great. I want to push myself through these uncomfortable moments, because that's where like the secret sauce of life is, I think.
Is in those uncomfortable moments.
Oh, because you get through them and you stand on the other side and you're like, huh, that wasn't so bad. And you assess, and then you do better and you do better and you do better. And I think, you got to accept that it's not going to be perfect. It's a very hard thing for me to be, because I don't like playing sport. Like I play to win. Okay. Let's just put it that way. I don't like doing things for fun. I want to win. And so, if I can't win, I probably won't do it, which I know sounds bad. So this has been a force for me. And I think people, when you get to that point, it is. It's amazing when you stand on the other side of that and you're like, I wanted to cry yesterday thinking about this, and now it's not so bad, And you realize what you're capable of.
Yeah. What would you say, to someone that's maybe they're listening and they just feel that they're like, huh, I got nothing to be grateful for right now, or Dr. Tom or Aaron, everything you guys are doing, it sounds awesome, but that's not me. Like I have nothing, I'm not grateful for anything right now. What would you say to that person, to really help shift them and really open them to say, listen, you have everything to be grateful for right now.
You're alive. I mean, I don't even want to talk about this because I'll start crying. But like, my mom introduced me to this couple. They're called like Joy and Work. I hope to God I don't cry when I talk about this. But she's 40 years old. She had a baby, and when the baby was 5 months old, she discovered she had super aggressive cancer. The woman she's 40 years old and just entered hospice care. Like, if you're not in hospice right now, like, I can't even read the blog without sobbing. But if you're not in hospice right now, like, I think you've got a lot to be grateful for. You know, I mean, just. You truly, and I know this sounds cheesy and stupid and everybody says, but you truly have the ability to control your own destiny. You simply have to sit down and figure out how bad you want to get out of your situation or, you know, wallow in it, because you're going to stay where you want to stay.
That's so true. And that is the positivity effect. That is creating that ripple effect of anything, you know, in any avenue of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think it all stems back to gratitude and awareness, you know, and stepping outside of ourselves. So even when mm-hmm. we have success, when we step back and we recognize, you know, the greater mission and the greater purpose that we have, you know, that's how you really get to that secret sauce of really providing that highest level of service and helping somebody else in their life.
Yeah, 100% agree.
So Aaron, thank you so much. This has been great.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. You know, I'm so inspired. And our audience, they're well aware, if they just go to positivityeffect.com and put your name in the podcast search tab, your name will come right up. So.
And it's an easy name. Aaron Smith. You can't get much easier than
Aaron
that.
Aaron Smith. Absolutely. So what's something you have going on right now?
So I'm working on, I just launched a cool PDF it's the 130 different ways to market your business, just to get like outside the box thinking of ways to grow. And then that's going to launch into a course of really understanding, I don't want to call it the mastery of marketing, but kind of the magic of marketing, like how to understand your numbers, how to be super effective with things like Facebook ads and Google ads, and learn to convert that a lot more easily. Because I love Perry Marshall. Talk about reading. If you've never read Perry Marshall's 80-20 Book of Marketing, read it. It's incredible. But he talks about what business is truly just psychology and mathematics. That's all it is. And so it's when you can understand numbers and you can track and say, all right, I know $100 is going to convert to $1,000 in sales typically. I mean, how much easier does that become on where you put your money, how to grow your business? And I think a lot of people just, it's an overwhelming thought. So the course is going to help teach you how to do that and just make it a lot easier.
To comprehend. And, you know, Aaron, I know that you have the right mindset. You have that positive mindset, even through all the ups and downs of life. Because, I mean, and I probably should be doing video now going forward, even though nobody can see this. Like, anytime I ask you a question about what you're doing, your face changes. You get so positive and you're like, because you're so passionate. And I think that's what anybody listening should do if they feel like they don't have any direction in life. It's just sit down and even have a conversation with somebody and find out what are they passionate about. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily something that they're going to make money with, but it's when somebody questions you about something and you just go off on it and you're super excited and it's just welling up in you, that's when you know you found it. And that's, I can see it in you, this is your calling in life, to help people build their business.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I love it. I love, I'm excited, and to be able to do this for a living every day it's a blessing. But to that point, I never was lucky in anything. Like, I worked my butt off to get it. So I don't want anybody listening to be like, well, you're just lucky, or no, like, luck comes with work, and period, end of story. You just got to want to put the work into it.
I'm blanking on who said this, but it's the idea of, you know, you have to be successful before you can be successful.
Yeah.
Like in the dark, when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm sure, there's been thousands of hours of just grinding and building what you're looking to do. And now it's everybody seeing it outside, you know, from an outside perspective.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's so true.
It's
yeah.
so true.
But yeah.
So awesome. Thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time, Aaron. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. So be well. We'll talk soon. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday.
I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care and talk to you next Monday.